Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
If you have your Bible, please go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. So as we approach Thanksgiving, I want to take a little poll here. Some people say turkey and stuffing, and some people say turkey and dressing, okay? So we're going to take a poll here. If you say turkey and stuffing, raise your hand. Okay, I see three Northerners. Put your hands down. I'm teasing. If you say turkey and dressing, raise your hand. All right, there you go. That's what I thought. I learned as I've moved around as an adult to different states that people in other places, Mississippians, you just need to know this, they will say turkey and stuffing. And I would say, stuffing? What are you talking about? And they would explain to me that stuffing is when you put it inside the turkey, you know, and you cook the dressing inside the turkey, which gives me the heebie-jeebies. Because I'm thinking, what if you leave something in there that's supposed to be, it's a little creepy. But dressing is when you know that you put the dressing in another plate, you cook it separately, right? Yes, that's why we, you know, as Southerners say, it's turkey and dressing. But not that other Southerners don't say turkey and stuffing. It's okay. This isn't anything in the Bible. It's just something. I'm going somewhere. You're thinking, where is he going? I'm going somewhere. Trying to, anyway. Now, as you get ready for your turkey and stuffing or dressing, whatever you're going to have at your house, some of you are beginning to collect items. Now, they don't let me cook the dressing, but it's you get bread. You might get oysters. My mother used to have dressing with oysters and without. I always went without. And that really creeped my wife out when she found out that's what we did at our house. You might get some eggs in your dressing. And so you're collecting, probably mostly ladies or some men that like to cook, and you're skilled at it, unlike myself. You're collecting these items, good items. And let's say on Thanksgiving you just have these items and you're pumped and you're excited about it, but you just leave them there. Something would be missing because you have to take these items, kind of mix them up, but you place them in the oven for a while so it can cook and just kind of be all melted together. You getting hungry? And it's just, you know, it just comes out just right. And if you don't cook it, it's like you got the items, but there's something missing because you didn't do that last step that you've got to do to bring it all together. Well, last week, in chapter 6, we talked about the armor of God. There's the shield. There's the breastplate. There's the sword. There's the helmet. And then all of a sudden, the sentence continues. And that's why if you've seen the title on your listening sheet, and don't forget to pray. You've got all these items, these pieces of armor for the Christian to walk with the Lord daily, but oh, don't forget that it's so important to pray. It's the glue. It brings it all together. In other words, it's sort of like an assumption, but comes back because all through the Bible, we know the importance of prayer. We're going to look at some of those cross references, but he reminds them as he comes to the end of this very important letter to the church at Ephesus. And, as he's mentioned in other chapters, don't forget to pray. Last week, we finished chapter 6 going through verse 17. Paul does not begin a new sentence in verse 18. It's a continuation of thought. We stand firm against the enemy's schemes through prayer. We take up the sword of the Spirit, for example, as well as the other armor, pieces of armor, prayerfully. It's not a piece of armor. It's what strengthens the armor, sort of like glue, if you will. So let's look at verse 18. Let me read it. And pray in the Spirit. Holy Spirit lives inside of the believer, convicting, comforting us. Pray in the Spirit. In other words, not in the flesh, not what you might be tempted to pray. It might be selfish. Pray in the Spirit on Fridays and Saturdays. No, that's not what it says. On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now, with this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Be alert because of the enemy. The enemy's the enemy. Pray also for me, he says to the church, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. So he's in prison. He's writing this. It's because of the Lord. He doesn't say, hey, pray I'll get out of here. Hey, pray for this, you know, these chains that are hurting my ankle. He says, pray that I'll be bold. For which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Don't ever forget to pray. Put on the armor and pray and pray and pray and pray some more. So let's break this down in three ways. Number one, we're to pray all kinds of prayers. It's what the scripture says. They're to be comprehensive. Years ago, as a student minister, we taught our students the Acts acrostic to help them know this is a type of prayer. A-C-T-S. Acts, adoration, adoring God, praising God, reading the Psalms, beginning your devotional or prayer time with adoration, singing songs, praising God. You start there. It can help us with our perspective. The C is confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Keep our sins up to date. God forgives us of our sin when we put our faith and trust in him from the past, the present, and the future. But we're to be up to date. We're to get things right with him. We're to confess our sins. Lord, test my heart. See if I'm pure. See if I'm right. We're to confess our sins. T, Thanksgiving. Not just at Thanksgiving, but certainly at Thanksgiving. But we're to thank God. Be thankful in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And then the S. And this totally makes sense and helps us because if we're not careful, we can totally zero in on, Lord, what I need. This is what I need. This helps us. And then supplication is praying for others and praying for our own requests, which is certainly fine and right. That's all kinds of prayers. That's a way to do it. How do we pray? We're to pray in the prayer closet. The Bible talks about that. And what that means is, now, it might be you have a chair set up, you have a lamp, and you got a big old closet, and you go in there with your Bible and your journal and your devotional book, perhaps, and you literally get in your prayer closet. That's fine, but it might be somewhere else. And by the way, sometimes it's good to change those places up from time to time, and you spend time alone with God, and you pray. And you ask him questions if you haven't. You praise him. You thank him. You just talk to him. Converse with him. Abide in him. Pray in the prayer closet. Pray in your car. But now let me say this. Keep your eyes open. Be alert. And I'll say this because Kelly's on assignment. She's not here. My wife, listen, sometimes she has a heavy foot. So I pray in the car. When she's driving, especially. Now, she claims and acts like she really needs to do that when I'm driving. I don't know why that's a problem. I think I drive fine. And here's another thing that's so good. When Kelly's out and I use her, for example, I always know, guys, that her friends are not going to tell her, you know, about me doing this. I can be so sure of that, you know, right? But yeah, that's what I thought, Linda and Dwayne and others that are shaking their head. Pray in your car. In other words, Pray on all occasions. Pray in your closet. Pray the acts. Pray for compassion for those that are hurting. I would say that those that are able to go from day to day, like the ladies that I used as an example earlier, I'm pretty sure they would attribute that to the prayers of people, to them praying and God's people praying for them. Pray that those that are going through a difficult time, pray for compassion. Pray when celebrating Thanksgiving, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Pray for conversions that people might be saved. Don't just pray like it's a rainbow foot. Some people don't pray unless they really got a need. Like, not a rainbow foot, a rabbit's foot. You know, rabbit's foot, good luck. So you don't worry about, you don't pray like that. Well, God, I need this. No, he says to pray all kinds of prayers continually. It's not like a rabbit's foot. And so I think what we ought to do before we quickly move on in a minute to the second one is say, okay, if one is not doing so good, praying all kinds of prayers, and 10 is perfect, none of us are perfect, we just need to say, where are we on a scale of 1 to 10? Are we more this way? Are we more this way? Or do we just pray, God is great, God is good, and there's nothing wrong with that, and that's about it? Or do you just pray when you maybe come to church, or maybe just, in other words, as a Christian, we're always to mature and grow, but we're to pray all kinds of prayers. All kinds of prayers. We're to let the Holy Spirit guide us. Remember this verse. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. Romans 8:26. You may be here today and say, you know what? Pastor, I sometimes just don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to say. Well, if you're a believer, that verse should help you big time. God intercedes on our behalf when we don't even know what to say. We may be so overjoyed with thankfulness because we know he's answered our prayer and he's so faithful and is so good. It's like, God, I don't even know how to express how much I'm grateful for what you've done because I know you did it. Or it could be the whole other end of the spectrum. You're hurting so bad. It's so difficult. You never anticipated being at this place at this point of the year. And it's like you're just not quite there yet. You say, God, I know I need to pray. I just don't know how to pray. Intercede on my behalf. I trust you. Pray all kinds of prayers. Secondly, we're to pray for God's people. We saw that in 18b, the second part of verse 18. Your people, your immediate family and church family. Some of us will be gathering with our people on Thursday. I've heard somebody say, everybody in the family, when you gather with all your family, your uncles and your aunts and your cousins, and everybody gather at Thanksgiving, usually you got somebody that's a nut in your family. They're crazy. And if you look around and you don't see them, it's probably you. So we have to be aware of that. We pray for our family. We pray that God will help us say and do the right things. And we pray that God will help us to be a good witness, because there may be somebody around that table that's eating stuffing or dressing that don't know the Lord. And they may know you do. And they knew you back when. But you know God's grace and that we're a work in progress, but he's been faithful. You love them, meet them where they are. Ask God to help you. Pray for God's people, your family. Pray to be convicted of sin. This verse says to be on the alert, because the devil doesn't sleep. He will trip us up. Just as you're moving forward and God's blessing you and you see him answering prayers, I'm telling you, he's deceitful. He'll set those traps and he'll try to trip us up just like that. So you have to be careful. We pray, and we pray to be people of faith. I remember a book that came out years ago called If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat. I love that title. He's basing it on a scripture. You're familiar with the scripture where he went out to meet Jesus. He took his eyes off of Jesus. Peter did, and so we have to say, God, I know I'm saved by faith. I want to live by faith. I want to do something that'll bring glory to you. I want to be used by you. I want to do something different. I don't want to just keep walking through the same routine, sit in the same place, do the same thing. God, help me do something that brings glory to you. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. You got to do things that might be different and trusting God and living by faith. Pray for God's people who have. Pray for our missionaries. We had Dr. Chitwood here on Thursday too. Charles, phenomenal. Dr. Chitwood's message was fantastic. And it was great. It was talking about how important it is to support our missionaries and to pray for them. Pray for our outreach events. We've got several of those coming up in December. Pray to have courage to confront a Christian brother and sister in love in the right way at the right place if they're causing disunity. Proverbs chapter 6 talks about how discord makes, God hates that kind of thing. And so the things that God loves, we should love. The things that God hates, we should despise. And so there's times that we confront and talk to people and say, man, it's causing discord. Let's work through this. Now I want to read this. The Old Testament, Samuel, he was given a farewell speech to God's people. And they asked that he pray for them. Now listen to this as we think about point number two. His response, 1 Samuel 12:23 was this. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. That brings point number two in what he's talking about here in Ephesians. It's pretty strong. He says, as for me, because I asked, hey, pray for us. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And then I want to read this one in Romans, the New Testament, chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus for all of you. He's telling God's people, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly he says, I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. Pray for God's people. It's biblical. It's right. It's practical. It's what we do. And y'all, sometimes it helps us to get our eyes off of our own situation. Not that we shouldn't pray about that. That's why that Acts acrostic can help us with our priorities. But it helps us so often to pray for other people. Maybe you've heard the other one, joy, Jesus, others, and yourself. Pray for others. And then thirdly and lastly, we see from the text today, pray for God's proclaimers. Paul wasn't selfish. Instead of asking for his personal request, like I mentioned earlier, he was in prison. He focused here on asking that he would be bold in proclaiming the gospel message. He was human. He was humble. He was honest, and he admitted his need for prayer. Here's how we're to look at that practically. We need to pray for those that communicate the gospel. Here's what that means. All of us as believers, ask God to help us and others to share the gospel as we have opportunities. In the right way, in the right fashion, timing, and biblically. How did we come to the Lord? How did he save us and what he's doing in our life? And here's the other thing. Because he was a regular communicator, Paul was. We need to pray for those that regularly communicate in their teaching, in their singing, and in their preaching. I know he was proclaiming the gospel, that this is more than just the preacher. These are others that communicate the gospel, other ministers, Sunday school teachers. Do you pray for your Sunday school teacher? Our teachers. Do you pray for the musicians, other ministers that lead? Wednesday nights, those that lead our teenagers and speak truth into their lives and our children. And I must tell you, I've made a practice of this most every time. When I finish preparing and studying in the mornings, there's a prayer bench that somebody got me years ago that's in my office. And I'm not trying to be spiritual. There's nobody there. And I'm just telling you, it's because I have to say, dear God, help me. Help me to try to put this together, remember what I studied, have recall, because I'm very weak. I need your prayers. The other ministers would say, please pray for me. One of the most important parts of worship here on Sunday morning is when the deacons and other men pray for me or whoever's stepping up here. We're to pray on all occasions. If you have your Bible, I want you to see something. I do want you to turn here to 2 Timothy 4:16-17, or just listen. 2 Timothy 4. This helps us understand even more why this is so important in this point number 3. At my first defense, Paul says to young Timothy, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Sometimes those that are proclaiming, that are singing, that are teaching, are doing so because they're led of the Lord to say something, to preach something, to teach something, to sing something. And they may be getting some pushback. And he's saying, pray for those that deserted me. Pray for me. But the Lord, he says, stood at my side. He always will. And he gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. We can't forget to pray all kinds of prayers for God's people and for proclaimers. This past week, when Charles Billingsley came, he spoke. He sang too, but he spoke primarily at BA for their chapel, or for their 1 o'clock gathering. I think it was a special gathering that he did. And he talked about how he had a lot of different age groups, so he was trying to speak on something that everybody could relate to and maybe they were familiar with. He did a phenomenal job. He was talking about David and Goliath, and most everybody in the room and in this room probably heard the story of David and Goliath. It's well known all over the world. And he walked through the passage, and he walked through the story of David and Goliath. And he talked about how he faced his giant, and how God was victorious, and how God used a weak vessel. But I think it was the first point that really registered with me, and I want to share it with you as we close out this particular message in our series. He said, be faithful in the mundane, in the day-to-day. And he was talking about how David was in the field, and he was a shepherd boy, and he wasn't like the man for so long. He was the youngest, and they were off in battle, and there was David. But he was faithful in the mundane, day to day, hour to hour, doing the little things that his father wanted him to do and that his heavenly father was wanting to do, taking care of the sheep, using his talents and playing his harp and singing and just being faithful in the mundane. And so as we think about praying all the time, let's all be reminded, it's never a waste. Be faithful in the mundane, in the day, today, today, day after day after day. Don't stop praying and trusting and looking to Him for your strength. Lord, help us to follow the example of David. Help us to apply this passage to pray, to use the armor and soak it in prayer all the time. Not just in our devotional life, which is so important, but just almost like we never say amen. It's just a continuation. And God, we all in this room, if we're honest, have so far to go in the spiritual discipline of prayer. So I pray you've reminded us, help us to apply something that we've heard, and help us to be faithful. Find us faithful, God, in the day-to-day. To not always look for something huge or big, but just know we're trusting you and talking with you and putting on our armor, because it's not easy, but it's worth it. In Jesus' name, amen.